All right, everybody, welcome to Yeah But Still. Joining us once again for the first time since, when was it, Brandon? March, perhaps?
This is like a week before Super Tuesday.
Yeah, we should perhaps paint the scene after this, but welcome back to the podcast, Felix Biederman. First time joining us during quarantine. Welcome back.
Last time I was here, we were fresh out of Nevada. We spent a week gambling, having a great time. Bernie did so well that they called it about 5 minutes after everything closed.
Oh, yeah.
He won by a crushing margin. Victory was imminent. We were out further west to enjoy beautiful California, hang out with our friends. Everything was looking even better. I got to, you know, hang out with my friends Jack and Brandon. This year's only going to get better.
Dude.
bad things will happen, but there'll be small bumps in the road.
We had an idea of the bad
real
things.
Real lost in the sauce.
We were all deciding what cabinet positions we would have in the Bernie Sanders administration because we liked how many tweets we liked. We would, like, get cabinet positions and
I was fattening up so I could be like Steve Bannon.
Yeah, I was, like, prepared to be like this. I wanted to be the Jacob Wool of the Bernie Sanders administration, where I'm involved.
Me doing Pete from the left.
Yeah, just kind of like aimlessly doing missions, even though nobody wants me to. I was hoping to be that. And the only thing standing in our way was Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg and, like, I mean, it is funny. I was remembering.
No one was thinking about Joe.
Nobody was thinking
about literally the last time Felix was on, I remember mutually we were like, it's funny now because he's not a threat. This isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah.
It happened so fast. Like, we were riding high, and then in like a week, the world fell apart, and Joe wandered onto the scene with his balls through his zipper that was open. It was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm in charge now.
He's popping a brain.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you know what I was thinking? I was like, I'm going to do a daily show on Twitch because Bernie needs a Tucker. And I'll be Bernie's Tucker. That's literally what I was thinking. And now I'm like, he was a nice man.
Dude,
he was a sweet old man that we thought could win.
I mean, everything changed so much. It's very funny.
Welcome to Obungler's America.
Yeah, you were one of the last people I saw. It was like the world shut down at kind of like a strange time where the last people I saw were just kind of like people that were on the podcast, you know? I wasn't like doing a ton of socializing anyway. So you were one of the last people I saw. It's weird. These are like weird landmarks that we in conversations we have recorded. Unfortunately, like, I'm able to hear exactly what we were thinking not long ago. But I mean, a global pandemic does sort of change things, you know. It does.
Yeah.
It causes a couple bumps in the road, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't feel great about some of those conversations being on record.
That being
said, although I think there, like, the post Nevada Chapo, I think Will especially was lost in the sauce. Will was fucking gassed up.
How could you not be?
How could you not
know,
be?
We won the
course,
first three primaries.
Absolutely.
This is unprecedented. And it's
absolutely.
Like, I don't know. It is embarrassing, though. It's like recording a podcast in 1929 that's like, everything's going to go great. Germany is on the verge
put your
of
money
in
the bank.
Anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Europe will never go to war again. We've solved that problem. I don't see the stock market coming down from this. We're probably just going to have zero unemployment, like, forever.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Hoover rocks. I love Hoover.
It was definitely a lot of, like, spiking the football in the first quarter, I feel like.
We didn't know it was the first quarter. We didn't know. Sorry, go ahead. We're Zoom stumbling.
If you go back to 2018, I was saying Joe's going to win. And I said it through 2019, and I should have just, I mean, everyone would have been mad at me for like 6 months when Bernie was doing great, when they'd be like, how the fuck can you say Joe's going to win? Joe's stumbling around. But it's like, I would have had the prize of being right. But I also would have experienced no happiness.
Yeah.
No,
it's like,
I mean,
you don't
get
anything for being right.
I had so much hope, and I also regret how much I leaned into the, like, Joe Biden is dead, Joe Biden is a rapist stuff. because I really like leaned into that, and I lost a fucking Trojan deal because of my Joe Biden is a rapist tweet, and that's why I'm never wearing condoms again.
Did you really lose a deal because of that?
I lost a Trojan deal. I lost
what does
the Trojan
bag. Deal look like?
I can't get into it because it doesn't exist anymore. But
that's
what kind of like I didn't know there was Trojan influencers. By the way, that's also a joke from Like and Subscribe that came true. I can't believe you're really gonna get a Trojan deal.
Oh, the Trojan. Well, they were gonna.
You're gonna be Trojan adult.
I can't get into the details too much, but they did specifically tell my reps that it was because of the Joe Biden stuff.
That it's
Because I thought that he wasn't going to do it, and now he's the nominee, and I don't have that sweet Trojan money.
I like that. That's the reason why you regret those decisions too. It's not that like, it's like oh, we've I've kind of like helped stained our only hope to get Donald Trump out of office. Like, no, they fucked up my Trojan condom bag, dude.
You know, that other stuff too, but
I mean, look, there's no way to predict the world, but I'm surprised we haven't had Felix on. I mean, I guess I've been on. I've done This Is Sus with you many times.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, maybe we need to do another one of those. Those were very.
We
fun.
Do. I've been like too busy to do it.
That's
but
understandable.
I'll be able to like set some time aside for it soon.
But I'm glad to have you on because, dude, I feel like the world has become particularly exhausting and unbearable. In a way, mm-hmm. It hasn't been before. Just. I don't know. I feel like it's gotten worse in the last couple weeks. Maybe it's just me, but this is something that I think would be great to discuss with you.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't like it.
Yeah.
This is a bad this is a bad time to live in.
Yeah, right before this, I was watching Austin Powers Goldmember, and I just wanted to go back, you know?
Oh, that'd be a great time to go back to, in some ways.
Imagine being fucking Seth Green. You got checks coming in from three Austin Powers movies, Family Guy residuals, Robot Chicken. You've built a fucking empire off of like eighth graders, you know?
What's he doing now?
That's Robot Chicken. Robot Chicken like, is still on.
With his life
two,
and Family
people,
Guy. How's
two
he living?
People built empires off eighth graders. It was Seth Green and Jeffrey Epstein. But only one could tell the tale.
It's Seth MacFarlane, Seth Green, and Epstein.
Yeah.
The two Seths and the one Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm checking out his Instagram. He's just straight up vibing. I don't know. He just seems to be living his life.
I love going to a celebrity's Instagram, like a 2004 celebrity's Instagram, because it's like it's like the guys who you know, got out of Germany before the mid-30s, and they're like, smooth sailing, baby. They're just like, I feel like they're on the other side looking at us, and they're like, sucks for you.
It looks.
Hey, I'm going, you know, stand-up paddle boarding with my 27-year-old fiance. Yeah,
it's a great
I'm
life.
I'm going, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he did the Austin Powers movies, Family Guy, and then fucking he was like, oh, what if we did a show where Optimus Prime humps the washer dryer?
He's doing
I'm so jealous.
That was like the last breed of adult cartoons or animation before adult cartoons and animation were about like, you know, this is about a bird who has obsessive compulsive disorder.
Oh, absolutely. It was that era before it was like, oh, what if the adult cartoons were existential? And it was like back when it was just like, yeah, what if we made the Care Bears cuss?
Yeah.
What if it was like Family Guy with just the cutaways?
Yeah. You know? That's what the DNC should have been. It should have just been like Biden pointing to clips of Robot Chicken and being like, this is going to come back.
I mean, they're bringing G4 back. I think
that's
like,
true.
If we build a big enough coalition, I think we can bring Spike TV back.
Oh, that'd be huge.
By 2021.
I want Mansers.
We lost Spike TV kind of right around Trump's election. Weirdly.
I feel like every time there's a legitimate social movement, like the Ferguson protest, you know, those defined that era. But our political activity is so linked to our media consumption and almost solely expressed through voting and media consumption that the only way we can sort of channel this is like, oh, you're saying like you're being like racially targeted and murdered and just like destroyed by policing, by gentrification, by redlining, by all this shit. All right, we got you. We're gonna make TV shittier. I feel like, yeah, like no, it's like a bunch of shit no one asked for. Like after the George Floyd protests started, there was all this like weird shit where it's like we're taking out the Golden Girls mud mask episode, and people were like, I didn't want that. Like what the fuck? That's not why I was out there. But it's. I mean, think about who makes culture. It's just like shitty, fucking anxious professional class people who they really want to appear as good people, but they have no idea how they actually do that. And the only thing they can think of in their lives is like, all right, we have to make this culture that's already bad. This culture that's already bad because it's supposed to – everything is supposed to make the maximum profit, so it's supposed to appeal to the maximum amount of people. So everything is just – has this – baseline of blandness and shittiness and sameness. We have to make it even more that, which is this, yeah, this thing that no
we,
one
we
fucking,
need to become more homogenous.
It's a reflection of our politics where it's like it's moving in this direction that no one really wants, but it's happening anyway. Yeah. Because we have no there's no function for us to stop.
I mean,
it.
Yeah, it happens just, from yeah. the top down, and I think that as like the discourse gets flattened, the same shit's gonna fucking happen to, you know, TV shows.
It happens to everything. I feel like it's the hardest thing about this year for me is to see how fast they suck out like the nutrients of every organic thing that happens, essentially. Where like, yeah. I mean, I mentioned before, it's like all culture war now, but like last night was a preview of it. I mean, I don't want to talk about it too much, but that stupid Trump, like, Trump parade of trucks where they're driving into Portland for some reason, you know, and then like right. Portland's like not even protesting anything in particular anymore. They're just like they're out there protesting and just like being there, you know. It's like completely devoid of any action, right? Like Portland's just now like just fighting with each other at this point. And the Trump guys uh-huh. are for some reason gonna do like a 1,000 car rally. And then, like, we don't even know yet, like, who got shot, but somebody got killed. And it's, like, no longer really about anything. Like, nobody's fighting for one particular thing there. Like, they're just fighting each other and the existence of each other. And it's, like, it's very sad and it's exhausting to pay attention to because now it's just completely devoid of any meaning from what it was originally connected to. It's so
yeah.
strange.
It's like, I don't know. I used to think like I had to like pay attention to it and like make a comment about it. Luckily, I've realized like you don't have to comment on everything. That was a very freeing moment for me. But it's like, yeah, I have a tough time looking at it and going, this has anything to do with what this started about. This is just like the Trump people versus the Portland people. And it's like, yeah, no, the Trump people shouldn't be there, but it's also like, well, what are we doing here?
Well, the original
what's going on,
the original protests in reaction to like George Floyd's killing, like those for a while it was very real and it meant yeah. something, and it was like pushing for a social change and demanding something, and it had actual meaning. I mean, we already talked a little bit about how they quickly sucked all meaning from that, and by they I mean like corporations essentially and like the powers that be. And just people who have interest in watering it down for their own benefit, you know. But that happens.
Oh, the watering down, I can. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah. With the watering down, I mean, it gets to this point where it crosses into pure culture war, where it's only culture. It's completely disconnected from any chance of resolving an existing problem or issue or pushing for social change. And then the fire gets fueled by people on both sides whose lives there's no way their lives will ever be affected by this, by whatever it is. And those are the same people that also throw fuel on the fire to create shit like this and also tell you that you're a bad person if you're not paying attention to it 24/7, tuned in and getting stressed out by the Trump truck rally that's going to drive through Portland or whatever. It's just fucking stupid. And the pressure to pay attention is just exhausting. Reading Harry Potter doesn't make you more of a wizard than somebody who's never read Harry Potter. It's just...
I mean, it really bothers me seeing... I see it a lot on Instagram, just like people that only understand like black struggle through the framework of like fucking like Mean Girls macros.
Yeah.
Like Mean Girls memes where it's like, get in, loser. We're gonna, you know, be anti-racist or whatever. And, the thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer.
Well, the thing that's happened to Instagram that I think is so interesting is when you go to someone's story now, there's a 50-50 chance that you're going to get some fucking unreadable infographic because it was shrunk down to be put into your phone and go onto your story.
Yeah.
No one's pausing to read it. You just want to be seen as posting something that's like you're going to post an infographic about how prison abolition works. Did you actually read it?
No.
Probably not. Is anyone who looks at your story going to read it? No, but they know that you're doing something. And I do get the impulse. I get the impulse to want to do something. It's the same impulse that causes people to constantly read the news and constantly consume these things that like make an already bad mind state that we're all in right now worse. But I don't think that's a bad impulse. But I do think that there is more. There's more value out of, you know, volunteering your time, volunteering your money, something that we're really conditioned not to do in this country. Just doing anything to be of service to others as opposed to just, yeah, battering people with this information that is put out with a waterboarding approach that no one can possibly absorb.
Well, it's yeah, exactly. And it's like once it's completely devoid of its purpose and meaning, then there's no point in participating in it. You know, when participation comes down to just relentlessly sharing like links that nobody's going to read, you know, and not doing anything else about it. It's just like,
I love that. Yeah, I love that when someone has one of those fucking, you know, idiotic tweets that now because the algorithm, it gets like 3 million
yeah.
retweets where it's like, you know, it's hanging out in a rocking chair is a vibe. it's that moment when your mom puts the cake in the refrigerator and then always under it.
I do love that.
It is a good moment, but always under this totally just banal, uninteresting thought. It's like Black Lives Matter cards. It's like no one's clicking on that.
Yeah.
Like no one's clicking on that because everyone has that in their shit. That you just put that there, so it's like, oh no, this isn't the. I'm also doing something. Like again, it's like not a bad impulse. People who are doing this aren't bad people, but it's just like. I don't even want to blame anyone individually because this is how we're conditioned to take things up. Like I loved it when the tragedy with the explosion in Lebanon happened and people were like, guys, we really have to do something. Petitions don't work in Lebanon. And it's like, do you think they work here?
No, dude.
Work anywhere?
I've been going crazy with the petitions, especially change.org, because that's like a for-profit company, I think.
Yeah.
It is for-profit. And also, I think didn't Obama people start that? It like kind of made some like
it's another O'Bungler project.
It made some like fake sense where like when it started, it was like, oh, this is Obama's gonna read these because his friend started it or whatever. But it's like people keep having us sign these change.org petitions, and I'm like, where do they go? Are you guys sending these to somebody? Because like, who are you sending these petitions to? And do they give a shit? Because I highly doubt it. Like that's if we've learned one thing is that people don't give a shit. Especially when it comes to police reform, like they don't
especially
even give a shit
when
there's riots. No, yeah.
Obama called people out in the streets in Baltimore thugs. Obama doesn't give a shit about any of this. Obama, there was like a second win. There was a second grasp with this thing that the Milwaukee Bucks did that I thought was really great, where they were gonna not play.
I thought that was awesome.
Protest. I'd love that because it's like, well, the only thing that actually unites this country that we actually all care about and that we the only thing we actually know about is sports. And it is these mostly black athletes going, no, you don't get to have this while this is happening. I thought it was amazing. But of course, Obama put the whole thing down. Anything natural or organic that doesn't go through the Democratic Party, Obama will fucking be there to suck the wind out of it.
I was shocked by that bargain that they released. Go ahead, Felix.
If I could only go back in time like 10 years, I would, I don't know, I would concoct some Jacob Wool type scandal to make Obama not a star anymore. This country would be in a better, literally would be in a better shape.
If Hillary Obama was in charge?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's a spicy take.
Obama's charisma and his high approval ratings among people left of center enable him to be this unifying figure who can take air out of anything organic and anything that has the chance of being radical or affect actual change. His handprints are on anytime there's been a mass movement, whenever the rug gets pulled out from under it, he's there. And Capitol would still try to do that if there was no Obama, but he makes it so much easier for them. And Hillary, it might have been worse. It might have been worse because she would have made every nation on Earth a part of NATO. She would have, you know, who knows. But she wouldn't be able to do that because not as many people like her.
Yeah.
Right. Like, his charisma allowed him to just get away with all of the things that she would have done and, like, been criticized for.
Mm-hmm.
He has too much swag.
Yeah, too much swag.
People didn't care about drones. He was able to smooth it over.
The two big moves he made this year were like calling Bernie to be like, "Hey man, throw in the towel," and calling the NBA and being like, "Come on, guys."
I couldn't believe.
Go play the game.
I was like reading that statement that they released. Because, I mean, they're really doing a strike to, like, make some serious changes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a list of demands. And then it was like, I read the thing and it was like, oh, we're going to play as long as the league promises to, like, maybe work on trying to open up a stadium to vote. I was like, wait, what? Huh? That doesn't even have to do with what you were protesting in the first place. Like, there's like...
What a great deal Obama made. It's like, hey, you know this... organic and justifiable and righteous rage you feel and this amazingly courageous and selfless action you're taking, what if instead you made it easier for people to vote for Chuck Schumer?
You know, I forget exactly how we got on this, but I wasn't even bringing this up. Oh, it was the change.org. I wasn't bringing it up to be mad at Obama, but I mean, the change.org shit is just weird to me because it's like if we've learned one thing during this administration, it's that, oh, you can't do anything about it. Like, the situation sucks and there's like really nothing you could do. And it's exhausting when people are constantly getting mad at Trump for violating the Hatch Act or something. It's like, yeah, like, what are you going to do? He violates it all the time. What are you going to send him to jail? No, it's not going to fucking happen. So, like, why am I here thinking that, like, this administration or anybody involved is going to read a petition and be like, oh, 200,000 people signed this. Apparently we got to do something about this. You know, it hasn't worked for Medicare for All or anything. I just don't know what these petitions, who they're going to and why that person would care. You know,
Trump lost the popular vote by 3 million.
Yeah.
He still has done all this. Like, right. Do you think that shit fucking matters?
Absolutely not. I mean, even if you're sending it to local Democratic leaders, like, I don't believe they care.
Absolutely not.
It's sad. I mean, and I, once again, like, I alluded to it before, it's not the fault of the people that are earnestly trying to do something. I think that's, like, a good instinct. I'm not frustrated by all of them. It's frustrating, like, the situation that we live under, where it's like, oh, yeah, the only thing available for most people is to just do these, like, really futile gestures that are increasingly more pointless, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is why Felix and I were talking about Dennis Leary the other day. And
what, quite a, quite
about,
a,
like,
pivot, by the way. I'm seeing where you go with this one. Quite a
well,
pivot,
yeah,
though.
Well, because I'm like, I don't know, Matt Crisman's better at talking about this shit than I am, and this is where I really thrive.
Okay, that's what's
but
this is what I prefer to talk about, too.
Me too, generally.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about like the idea of like having your brain frozen in 2007, like,
would be wonderful.
Just all of his tweets, because like we started talking about this because of his tweet from the other week, Dennis Leary. Right, he tweeted, but still canon.
This is probably, yeah. I have it pulled up if you want me to read it. This is like,
oh, please read it.
Definitely, yeah. Read it.
I mean, it's Dennis Leary. He is, but still canon at this point, and his focus is often on coffee, and being mad at coffee.
Over 20 years now,
just been he's so pissed off at coffee.
He's been pissed off about. What pussies have done to coffee.
Making it taste good, essentially.
And you know what's amazing? He's to the right of Trump people in coffee now, too.
Right.
Like, Trump people, like, all they do all their stupid shit in Starbucks where they're getting a mocha, frappa, soy, whatever is, fuckuccino, as Dennis would call it. And Dennis is still like, I want coffee-flavored coffee. Like, if you put milk in it, you're fucking pussy.
Yeah, he's a single-issue voter, and he hate, like... It's just anti-third wave coffee.
Okay. Dude, no, Brandon, he's anti-second wave. Like, he wants coffee where it's, like, brewed out of a cowboy hat, like, on the plains. Like,
yeah, read the Dennis Leary tweet.
This is Dennis Leary. Dennis Leary posted this August 24th, 2020. This was last week. Like, like, literally, there's, like, riots in the street. Like, Kenosha's happening, I think. Okay, here's the tweet. Dear science, once you tackle COVID... We're gonna need an anti-pumpkin fucking spice vaccine.
It's so fucking, on so many levels, it's amazing.
I mean,
starting with dear science.
Dear science.
Dear science.
Let's take this piece by piece, honestly, because that's what I wanted to
do. Yeah, I could talk about this for a fucking hour,
so,
man.
So, yeah, I could do a hardcore history.
Dear
about
science,
this
he's addressing the entire concept of the scientific method, just straight up, which people do talk about it like that, which is kind of annoying. On
dear
both
science.
Sides. I fucking love science.
Dear science, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling.
So once you tackle COVID, we're going to need an anti-pumpkin fucking spice vaccine. So he needs, by the way, I mean, the biggest point here is that pumpkin spice, I feel like that came out 10 years ago. Like, literally, like, 13 years ago, pumpkin spice lattes probably came out.
I mean,
out.
It's a very 2008 thought.
Bro,
yeah, do you,
before
do you
that.
Remember, do you remember Prodigal Sam on Twitter?
Yes.
I mean, barely.
One of the first big Twitter scandals, it was back when, like, Weird Twitter ran the world. Mm-hmm. When it was like, if you got 100 retweets, you would immediately move to LA or New York to start your career in show business.
Yeah.
And, there was this guy who was a youth pastor, and he started just like stealing these weird Twitter style tweets. And God damn it, half of them were about pumpkin spice lattes. People thought that was the funniest shit. They thought the funniest shit would be like even more than a dog skateboarding or Airbud smoking weed. It was, hey, this flavor of coffee fucking sucks. This is stupid. Yeah.
Well, there was nothing funnier than just like, yeah, a girl in Ugg boot. Drink pumpkin spice.
So,
yeah.
Like, I actually looked this up. Starbucks started developing this flavor in 2003, and I think they launched it around then, too. So 2 years after 9/11, they were selling pumpkin spice, right? And it was popular when I was in high school. So, like, dude, this has been around for, like, over a decade. And then it's been, like, 8 years since those jokes became old, right? That we were just talking about, the Ugg boot. Oh, Ugg boot. She drink pumpkin spice at Starbucks and go shopping at Victoria's Secret, you know? And he's just firing this off randomly this summer.
I think it's awesome.
It's so fucking funny.
It's so good.
Felix, you made a great point the other day. We were texting about this, and you made a great point about how, like, every like, Mike Birbiglia, all of these comics... Just, you know, they do all these, like, Mr. President, like, learn some respect tweets.
Every comic from Leary's era, they're like, if you are a privileged white man who thinks it's okay to not vote in this election, I just called ICE on my gardener and they actually came. It was supposed to be an empty threat. I'm crying right now. Dude, please watch this speech by Dick Cheney. This is beautiful. Let's vote this orange motherfucker out. And Dennis Leary is like, we need a vaccine for a coffee flavor. What the fuck? He's true to himself, man.
You're saying like, yeah, Leary's like, like Snooki should be classified as a weapon of mass destruction. it's really great. It is like something of a reprieve, I think.
Just doing Iraq War era comedy. It's so awesome.
Well, that's like, I mean, that's the problem with like most modern political comedy shows is that they're trying to do like Bush era tactics in a Trump era, you know? But like, if you're not a political comic, that's kind of refreshing when it's just like pumpkin spice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a refreshing thing to see on the TL.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually trying to think back to like try to bring back jokes that deep, but it's so, my brain, I have trouble going past like Chuck Norris era, you know? Like if I was going to try to bring some Dennis Leary energy into the timeline, I couldn't go past Chuck Norris. I wish I could though.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's
not a bad era to take it back to though.
Leary, like for those that are not familiar, we're all big fans of his old coffee bit from, what was it, like 1995?
I'll look this up.
Yeah, from his special Locked and Loaded, where he posits, you know, is it possible to get a cup of coffee-flavored coffee these days? And he...
97.
That punchline where he's like, you got mochaccino? What does he say?
Why don't we just watch Frappuccino, Al Pacino?
What? We just watch it?
Mochaccino, Frappuccino, Al Pacino. What the fuck, man? www.whatthefuck.com. And then huge applause break.
I would love to watch this.
Just do it. I mean, we've definitely watched this multiple times in the podcast, but it's worth pulling up again.
So let me ask you this.
He's so coked out.
Is it impossible to get a cup of coffee-flavored coffee anymore in this country? Huh? What happened with coffee? Did I miss a fucking meeting with the coffee? Huh? You can get every other flavor except coffee-flavored coffee. They got mochaccino, they got chocaccino, frappuccino, cappuccino, rappuccino, alpaccino. What the fuck? www.whatthefuck.com.
Dude, that applause break, too.
Destroying.
I walked into a Starbucks about a year ago. A little kid behind the counter. I go, yeah, give me a regular. Regular what? Coffee. What flavor?
Coffee flavored.
Oh, pause it. Like, for those of you that do not have the privilege of seeing this on video right now, he has a clenched fist.
Oh, he's going to beat the shit out of this kid.
He's ready to physically assault this barista, this guy at the fucking counter at Starbucks. Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's so yacked up in this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's... Like, I love the idea... Like, I love the idea of, like... of being, like, like, a Johnny Cash type. Or, like, a Keith Richards. Like, someone who's, like, I need drugs to do my art. But it's this.
No, yeah. That's awesome. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, this is a perfect type of yeah, but still thing where we're like kind of making fun of him, but we also think he's way better than everything else out there right now, where I actually do prefer this and enjoy it at the same time.
It's impossible to quantify how much better he is than Trevor Noah.
I mean, yeah.
100%.
Literally impossible.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. I don't know. Like, it feels crazy on my end to like, be in a position where I'm like, yeah, this guy who stole Bill Hicks's act, like stole Bill Hicks's act, watered it down, stole his, like, one of his biggest bits is like just stolen from Louis C.K. But to like be put in a position where I'm like, we need to return to this, you know?
I mean, why not? I've it's hard to go back to that era mentally.
Yeah.
It's hard to go back to that era mentally. Things were really more simple. In fact, they're so complicated now that it's hard to imagine that. But I've started to try to do it. Where people just like, I mean, I think I mentioned this the other day, Brandon, where I kind of have memories of the eras where people were like, oh yeah, I'm not into the news, you know, like simply there's yeah. like,
I don't do politics.
I don't do politics at all. I don't do politics at all. And then like the other, that's the majority state, like majority position is like, oh, I'm not into that. And then if you want to be like alt about it, if you want to be counterculture, you would be like punk. Like, and be like, oh yeah, I hate the politicians, like all of them. You hate all politics. Yeah. You're ignoring it or you're hating it because it's all bad, you know. And you're making Banksy style paintings.
The biggest in the 90s, like the way that you fought, you wouldn't even like explicitly name capitalism. You'd be like conformity. Consumerism.
It would be like yeah, you'd flick off the White House and like yeah. take a picture, and then there'd be like dollar bills, like people walking in a painting would be like workers walking into the White House, and then like on the other side they're coming out as dollar bills, you know, or something yeah. like that.
yeah. It would be like a soldier like his gun turns into a book and he recoils in terror because he's never seen one before. That was the shit back then. I mean, it was a weird era culturally because it was an awful time for so many people, and a big portion of the problems we have now are because of things that were done during that time. Things like welfare reform, the crime bill, NAFTA. Tons of just awful shit. The looting of, like, if you're a Russiagate person, you should be mad at Bill Clinton and the IMF for the looting of Russia they did that turned into a lawless hellhole. Just so much happened.
I mean,
but because you know, the economy was doing well in a sense, and we had most importantly a budget surplus instead of a deficit, people are like, this is pretty much the end of history. Like, all the problems are solved. We're fine.
Yeah.
it's okay. Everything's cool.
Well, and we live
and so
in the opposite.
We have to take on existential problems of human existence, like obesity in America.
We have to. Well, now it's the exact opposite, because like, I do look back fondly on that, even though I was like, you know, way too young to reap the benefits of being able to check out. But we live in the opposite now, where it's told to every single individual that's like, oh no, you are the only hope in changing this. Like, it's up to you 100%. And like, you have to have an opinion on everything. You have to care about what your neighbor thinks politically. You have to fight with your neighbor. It's up to you. Because politicians don't do shit. They won't do anything.
Yeah. That's something that really gets my goat.
Yeah. You have to vote.
Like, all of that shit of like, you need to disown every family member.
It's like,
you need to make Thanksgiving bad.
It's on both sides.
Yeah, that shit.
It's both sides. It's like, I mean, that's the oldest trick in the book too, is like just to get the people who matter least to fight with each other.
Right.
It's
all a distraction.
Control.
Yeah. You need to personally ruin Thanksgiving.
The thing
it's
I
your
see
duty.
From when I see like a millionaire actor tell people to punch Nazis, it's like, are you going to pay their fucking legal bills?
Yeah.
Right.
You get, if they get seriously hurt or even killed, what are you going to do for their family? Like, you're just telling people to go out there and fight. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
I feel bad. I feel really bad for younger people because the Zoomers have been told by neurotic Xers and millennials that, you're going to fix everything. It's fine. Just by virtue of you being young, you're going to fix it. And they're told this by right-wing and left-wing people.
It's both. Yeah, both.
Like, right-wingers love this thing where it's like, oh, Zoomers are based. No, they're 17. They don't want to live. They shouldn't have to live your shitty life, your fucking terrible life where you do the mirror image of what archetypical lib cuck does, where they ruin Thanksgiving, where you ruin it because you're screaming about Bruce Orr.
We need a list of every fucking like blue check adult in their 30s who does a tweet like, all these the TikTok Zoomers are so pure. Like,
yeah, I want to make them play a Counter-Strike or Valorant game with me where I hear Zoomers argue about who's gayer.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, and they're so mad that they're like crying. Like, it's like, yeah, they're children, and it's really fucked up to look at this world where every institution is failing and everything is awful. Like, they're already probably fucking petrified. It wasn't like this when I was a kid. Like, we had the recession of 2008, but we didn't know how decrepit our institutions were. Like, now, with unprecedented political violence for my lifetime, to go to that, to point to all that, to kids who are fucking in high school and go, like, you're going to fix this. How?
You don't need to.
They can't even fucking do pre-calc.
Yeah, you didn't even need to know.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You didn't need to know if you were like anarcho-capitalist or a communist or anything when you were 15 years old. It's like kind of cool. That's like a, you know, there's an obligation to be so politically involved, and it would be very cool if it mattered, if there was like any indication that our participation had an effect on anything. But I don't really think it does.
You should be 15 years old and like know the word neoliberalism.
Yeah, just be Dennis Leary.
You should be hiding your boner with a backpack.
Yeah, watch Robot Chicken. I mean, it's not their fault. It's just like, it's exhausting that it's being put onto the individual. Because I constantly think about like,
oh yeah,
I have
no ill will towards these kids. It's like the problem is people like projecting all of their like hopes onto fucking children. Like that's weird.
I'm constantly perplexed about the Trump stuff. Just like the people who are hardcore Q people and Trump people, and I'm like, where do these people come from? And, you know, it's they didn't come from nowhere. It's just like 15 years ago, they probably wouldn't have had a political opinion at all. Very vaguely. These people, like, which is great. Like, most people shouldn't have to have really, really strong convictions. They shouldn't have to decide whether or not the swamp is real and there's like a giant cabal collecting adrenochrome and like, you know, like they have to personally help Donald Trump save the children. Like this is all new. It's so much pressure on the individual to participate when it doesn't have an effect.
Well, the Q thing is so strange because a lot of the people who get into Q, they are apolitical, but they're like, in sort of this generalized Facebook world of like anti-vaccines or whatever. And it's interesting because, you know, the best lies are created from a strand of truth. Like there is a deep state. There are pedophiles at the highest levels of government capital. You are right to have this complete suspicion and paranoia in a lot of cases. But it's also because it's people who like just consciously have been deprived of any like political or historical education, they're very susceptible to this fantastical thing where it's like, oh, you know who's the only guy that can stop pedophiles? It's like one of the more active pedophiles in America. Yeah. it's fucking sad because it is people. I think there are some Q people who are just psychos who like want to fantasize about their political enemies being killed. But I think there are a lot of people who are like, you wouldn't be able to pick them out of a lot of it's just like crazy bloodthirsty people who think they're like legitimately helping the world. If you didn't know anything and you were just the breadth of American history that you were taught was, yeah, Reagan defeated communism and then everything was good. And then 9/11, it's like, yeah, of course you'd be like, well, what the fuck? How do you explain this world? www.whatthefuck.com.
Exactly. And I want to add one caveat, too, is because, like, I'm not trying to tell people to just be completely lazy about things and, like, they shouldn't even give a shit. It's like my frustration comes from the fact that this pressure is being put on the individual while, meanwhile, the people who actually have power aren't doing anything. I mean, for conservatives who should be upset, like Trump didn't even build their fucking wall, like bare minimum promise. Like he didn't do any of the shit he promised. Nancy Pelosi, like we can barely get them to like gather in session to like talk about the post office or whatever. Just like like they won't even do fucking anything. Like they're not doing anything.
They won't
anything.
Even convene. Like bigger swaths of the American workforce are unemployed than they ever have been in my lifetime. Congress can't even convene a fucking session.
to talk about unemployment.
Yeah. And that's like, to go back to Portland and shit like that, I'm not saying, and this shit with like how people talk about Zoomers, I'm not saying people shouldn't do anything at all. I'm not saying that at all. I think people should be involved with the political process. But I am saying that it sucks to see just like fucking bewildered, dumbass MAGA people fight like people in Portland who have good intentions and just see these like people just fucking beat the shit out of each other while this is happening. It fucking sucks. It fucking sucks that just like
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, having, no, like, a charcuterie
I'm sure there
plate.
Are a lot of people who in like the MAGA counter protests who are like, I'm now Nazis. But I still just the idea of just normal Americans just beating the shit out of each other and fucking killing each other while this is happening. Well, these people couldn't give a fuck about this. You know what Nancy Pelosi dangles in front of our faces during like 30% effective unemployment? Oh, maybe we'll get Trump's tax returns next time. Even though that's what she said during the midterms. That's so fuck. That is, and I'm not saying like, oh, let's go out and guillotine her. I'm saying like, how come she isn't, she doesn't have some at least political fear to not follow through on anything? How come they don't even have, Mitch McConnell doesn't even feel this fire under his feet to convene Congress? They don't give a shit. And it's, and we're out here. We're just completely atomized and beating the shit out of each other, and it sucks. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, and they feel that way because nothing changes, and eventually they feel like the only way they can make change happen is to beat up the other side, somebody that feels differently about something than them. And it's because all politicians are just completely inactive, not doing anything. And it's sad. It's fucking sad. It's literally their job, not ours. It's, dude, it's like the equivalent of if I was a parent not buying food for my children, and then when they complain about it because they're hungry, I just pit them against each other and tell them to ask their siblings about it, and it's their fault. Yeah. Maybe they need to work a little bit harder.
I mean, yeah, listen, say what you will about the ruling class pitting the people against each other, but something that's really pissing me off is every time I go into Dunkin' Donuts, it's a bunch of hipsters writing poetry on computers.
I know. I want to watch more of that. It's purifying.
It's a very good special.
Yeah.
He says that you go to Dunkin' Donuts, it's a bunch of guys writing poetry on computers.
let's run that back.
So it just never happened.
This let's run this back. False premise. This doesn't happen.
Oh, he's still beating up a kid.
I'll stick that menu right up your ass, kid. Menu. Coffee doesn't need a menu. It needs a cup. That's all it needs. Maybe a saucer underneath the cup. That's it.
You been in Dunkin' Donuts lately? The last bastion of coffee, flavored coffee? It's gone. Forget about it. You walk in there now, there's people wearing berets. They're writing poetry on computers. There's a kid behind the counter. Would you like a cafe cooler? The fuck no. www.blowme.com.
Yes.
Oh, it's so cleansing. So pissed off. I mean, dude, we need Dennis Leary back. We need another special. Culturally, that was like the maddest a guy like that could get, you know?
I showed Felix this, but he was on I guess this happened during the last election cycle, but Dennis Leary went on James Corden and he rewrote his song Asshole to be it's rewritten as Trump's an asshole.
Wait.
Ooh, can we watch that?
Why?
Yeah, I would watch
that. I'm bewildered that Dennis Leary is not a Trump guy.
No, Dennis Leary hates Trump.
No.
Like Dennis Leary is like, he is like a, hey, you know, the SJWs, you know, people go to college to study underwater basket weaving. Like he's like, he probably like would be a Republican in like the 70s. But it's also like his weird sort of like union guy, like picked up from union guys that he's not in Boston, is like Trump isn't a real man. And I do think it's nice that Dennis Leary is like, no, Donald Trump's too racist.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm like, okay, good for you, man.
That's actually a good indication of the country is like maybe has a few sanity points. If we haven't lost Dennis Leary yet, where he's like still staying true, you know?
Yeah, we were. Me and Felix the other day were talking about Ron Perlman's tweets, because he does like, he'll do Trump tweets like every day, but he had this one a couple weeks ago where he like called Trump like a motherfucker, and then he was like, he did a follow up where he was like, he spelled it MUTHAFUCKA, right? So he yeah. was like, Trump, you're a motherfucker. Yeah. You know what a motherfucker is, don't you?
Ron Perlman has this like very specific actor mental illness where when you turn 70 and you're like a Jewish man, you're like, I'm black. Like Steven Seagal has it. Where it's not just like, it's not like any black guy who like exists. It's like a black guy from 1972 that you saw in a movie. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, something yeah. I love is that like Michael Rapaport was that at like 20 and yeah. it just stayed true.
This guy started early, but yeah, like Michael Rapaport or Ron Perlman, it'll just be like the only shit on his time. Like there'll be one tweet like promoting some movie, but then there'll be like 20 tweets. It's like, Steve Mnuchin, you one dumb sucker. What did you start talking yeah. this way?
Mike Pence, you need to get G checked.
Yeah. It's like, I like it though, because it's like, it's very earnest. Like you can tell he's really writing it, because like no right. like, you know, Zoomer haircut social media manager would be like, I'm not gonna write out orange mofo. I'm not yeah. gonna call somebody.
Yeah, there is like kind of a humanity to those yeah. tweets. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like someone's like lame dad. And I like it. I felt this way. Like, you remember that Peter Fonda tweet, the last thing he did before he died, where he's like, someone should molest Merrick Trump. And it's like, I have this like soft spot in my, heart for like, there's a type of like old, like liberal who just like loses their shit. It's not like the normal Hollywood thing of like, oh, I'm solemnly crying at this thing George Bush said, or like, you know, we need to support journalists. It's just like unbridled. Only boomers can do it, because boomers can correctly identify a lot of problems, but they can't identify the causes, because they were told to stay away from anything that attacks capital. So they have this correct rage, but they don't know how to channel it. So it just goes into like, let's have a charity boxing match, Ted Cruz. In this like very charming lameness.
Oh yeah, it's very wonderful.
It is, yeah. It is like endearing ultimately.
Yeah, I love it. I hope that we're all old guys like that. Like I hope like when, yeah.
I would love that.
Don Jr. is president and we're like 60. We're like, we always get visited by the Secret Service, because it's like, yeah, I'll beat your ass, Don Jr. You stupid ass mofo.
I hope I don't know what's going on in the world by that point. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to. I would deserve to not be mad or upset at that age, except just at coffee. Like, I would like to be mad at like the future advancements of coffee we don't know about. I want to be Dennis Leary mad, but not like mad at the news in the way Fox News watchers
are. Oh yeah,
are.
I mean, yeah, this is classic horseshoe theory.
Yeah.
Yes.
I simply just want to be mad at like the you know, the 2060 coffee that's come out. It's like air coffee, you know.
I want liquid coffee. You have to have like, there is some like dormant rage that comes with like being an old white guy, and it's like even Joe Biden has it, like when he like, you know, when he like can't get through a sentence in a debate yeah. or something, and he's just like, to get himself out of it, he gets mad
mm-hmm.
because it makes him yes. speak faster. Or like, yeah, when yeah. he called the, when he was like, listen fat. I don't know. I don't know if it's just like entitlement, or it's like, I used to be like the scariest thing in the world to people, which is like a 6 foot tall, like white guy with resources, and like everyone did everything for me, and now I like need to be helped around, and it kind of sucks. I don't know what it is, but there is a it's just like, you have to pick whether that rage is, you know, at the orange sucker, Donald Trump, or coffee, or, you know, an overweight man who's asking you about your son.
I mean, I wish we could see Biden unchained, you know. I wanted to see him finally face off against Donald.
Is it just not going to happen?
I don't know.
Well, Pelosi stupidly said, like, she was basically like, we're not going to platform him. And it's like, he's the president. But she doesn't get to make that call. That's not her call, whether we have debates right. or not. And I think, like, Biden, as diminished as Biden is, he knows how bad that looks not to debate Trump. So, I mean, you know our theory about Biden, that every time he speaks and he's cogent, they gave him so much Vyvanse it almost kills him. But it's like he'll yeah. do that. He'll do that again. Like he's like one of these old guys who's like, I'll do anything for my country, and it just means like taking Vyvanse and debating Trump. And it's like people really talk up Trump's debate prowess, but he actually did really poorly against Hillary. You know, and Biden did destroy Paul Ryan. That was when he was more cogent in 2012. Right. I think I don't know. I think it would be fun. I want to see it.
Absolutely.
I mean, give us something.
The Trump Bernie debate. He was like on something. They gave him some stimulants.
You mean the Joe Bernie debate.
Yeah. That was like, and then we didn't see him for 2 months, which is like, oh, right. you almost killed him.
Yeah, he had to go. Like, he had to go gather his energy. Yeah. He's like the outsider, Stephen King's outsider. He needed to go like you know, back in his cocoon.
Yeah, I think they give him like Adderall and Vyvanse like you would give a dog a heartworm pill, just in like a ball of peanut butter.
I mean, who cares? Let you know, go for it. They give him it in his. It would definitely be through Dairy Queen though.
Yeah,
they give him it in a blizzard.
Yeah,
that's a pills in the yogurt situation.
Yeah.
The yogurt, though, I believe would be a Dairy Queen blizzard, and he holds it upside down to make sure there's nothing funny in it. You guys didn't spike this again, did ya? Let me check. He loves
this. God damn. Should we watch that Dennis Leary video?
Dude, I don't think I have the brain capacity to handle that. It looks so bad.
It's pretty
bad.
We don't have to watch it.
Dude, we can talk about anything else besides just like comedic music and James Corden. Those are just like two touchstones of pain for me. Like, I'm just pressure points that I don't know if I could handle.
No, that's yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Musical comedy. No, yeah. Thank you. James Corden. No, thank you.
I did want to talk about that Jerry Seinfeld New York Times op-ed, which is, you guys have not read it, but it is very short.
I saw a story about it. I was just confused. I'm like, what? Why are we sounding off on New York right now? That's like also very 2007 thing. You want to talk about 2007? That's like J'ai aimé New York or whatever that fucking movie was that everybody watched in Paris.
Right.
New York was the sequel. Yeah. Where that was like straight up very 2007 vibes.
No, yeah, people have been having this conversation for fucking years.
Just like making art about like wow.
Like a lot of people are moving to LA. Like, is New York over? And then people are like, New York can never be over. Like,
New,
you know, whatever.
New York's like a person, and this is the city's right. the heart, and it beats.
And
cool.
Yeah, like the basically like the fucking LinkedIn CEO, he moved to Florida and like wrote a thing about it. And then Jerry Seinfeld wrote a thing in response. Like, he wrote like his New York Times op-ed was a response to a LinkedIn op-ed. And it's like the most boring conversation.
Just two guys just arguing in a void.
Yeah. Yeah. Two guys who like, just like, don't leave the Upper East Side, and they're like, no, New right. York is better than it. I'm like, who cares? I don't care.
It's so funny. I mean, I was like immediately thinking about like Jerry Seinfeld just getting mad about LinkedIn, right? Just like reading, just like he's like, LinkedIn, like, you can't link out. How do I close out of this website? I don't know how to close a website. Somebody tell me how to close these tabs. I've got too many tabs. I can't turn off my computer.
It's so cool that he's a billionaire.
Is he? Did he hit
so
the billion?
Awesome.
Did he,
that rocks.
He hit the big B?
Or I don't know. He's basically.
I think
probably.
So.
Yeah,
he at least has like 500 million, right?
Yeah,
that's the point? That just reminded me of like the dumbest thing that people do with the like I think it's like a classic boomer lib thing where people love to be like, yeah, Trump's not a billionaire, by the way. Yeah. By the way, you're not actually rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know those people that are ruining the country? He's not one of them. It's like the thing people
it's
do
so
where they
weird.
I saw this thing where it's like, yeah, the thing people do where they think they're helping Biden, where it's like it was a signed letter from a group of Republican national security operatives at a very high level. And it's like, we're the guys who did 9/11. We don't like Donald Trump. Okay.
Very cool. Thank you.
Like, who's going to be moved by this?
Yeah.
Like, no one.
Yeah, we're like in a weird phase where it's like, I don't know, like all our political operatives, like a lot of them lost credibility in the last the failures of the last election, and it's like maybe there's not there hasn't been enough time where there's like the younger generation can come in and there's like hot shots from like the next generation, so we're kind of like in this in between time where they're like kind of pulling in like Iraq war people from the bench, you know.
Well, right. I've seen the hot shots. They're all everyone who works in politics is like really stupid in the same way. Like the young hot shots are like the guys who framed up Alex Morris.
Oh yeah, that's very
like, it's like, and fucked it up. It's like maybe blew a sure election for their very evil boss or guy who they wish there was their boss, Richard Neal.
I mean, I was like really excited about seeing like the AOC endorsement, and it did annoy me. Just I get annoyed with like people who love to like shit on AOC for like participating in celebrity culture.
I don't give a shit about that.
Right.
I'm mad about some of her foreign policy positions, but it's like, well, she's playing the meta. It's like the thing you do now to be a celebrity is like to do all that, what I think is dumb bullshit, but it also gets a lot of people on board. So
Who cares if she did a fucking Vogue makeup tutorial video if she's like, you know, putting her money where her mouth is? It's all
if it's getting people on board. Great
progressive shit.
I'm way more worried about how she met with people who supported the Venezuelan coup but none of her constituents who were against it. But if she wants to do like an IG live, whatever. There needs to be more shit to get people on board in like a tangible political program, and if that's where people are, go for it.
Yeah,
right. She's speaking the language.
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about before? How did we get on AOC?
Oh, we were talking about
Alex Morris.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I was just talking about the various old creatures coming back to haunt us from the Iraq War era, and like the 9/11 creative directors.
Yeah, when you
everybody's attention span is so fucking short, and you know. It's easy for them to get away with it.
Yeah, it's weird how things. I mean, that's the kind of the theme of this episode. Things get nerfed so fast. You know, it's like impressive. It's impressive how fast. Well, like, and what's weird is that like the rioting doesn't stop, but like the point gets like the point of doing it gets sucked away. Like we're not protesting anymore, but there's like still somehow riots. Just like only
there are still a lot of active protests. There's like the media. Yeah. The media isn't really covering them as much now. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, the people in power have learned like, oh yeah, we don't have to care actually. Like there's no like we don't have to care about this. Like the Kenosha sheriff, I think, is still standing by his police officers. I don't think
doubled down.
It's
brutal.
I will bet money that Tony Evers, the Democratic governor of Wisconsin, does not do anything, but maybe somewhere down the line, to make it look like he is doing something, he outlaws more flavors of vapes.
Yeah.
the thing that Democratic governors love to do. Never rein in their cops, never expand Medicaid, but definitely make life less fun for people.
Dude, how do they, like, dead serious question, because I don't know, like, vape bans, like big soda bans, things like that, where like the worst parts of living in a New York or California, where it's just like a baffling law change. Where do those even come from? Are the
it
are
comes,
they?
It comes from they have to look like they're doing something, but they can't do. But they're solely accountable to capital at the end of the day.
Is there?
So they
is
can't
there
do an, anything that would raise people's taxes that much. They can't do anything that would hurt the health insurance industry that serves absolutely no one. And yeah, what we have is we have all the bad parts of living in Europe, but with absolutely none of the social safety net.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, I just kind of confusing because it's like, is there any grassroots movement or like organization of citizens that like wanted smaller cups of soda at 7-Eleven?
No. Well, it's the like, soda ban there... actually got struck down. That was ruled.
Oh, did it actually get struck down?
Which is, yeah, it's really funny.
That's a big
that
win.
Was, like, there was a judge who's like, no, Americans like deserve big soda.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Whatever judge did that. It was probably just to spite Bloomberg, which is like cool.
Good.
Fuck that guy.
Why not? I mean, it is weird. Yeah. It is weird. Like we kind of get lost in like politics a little bit, but it is. I guess I am in favor. I'm not. I think people shouldn't drink a giant big gulp, but it's like it's weird for the government to tell you like, oh, you can't serve something in a big cup. Like if,
right, I don't want it to be illegal. And it's also like, why do you think people have poor nutrition and are drastically overweight? Do you think it's because they're insane feral hogs who can't stop drinking soda? Or do you think it's because it's so difficult to find a good grocery store in New York, especially if you're lower middle income?
Yeah.
What do you think's the bigger fucking problem? But of course, you're going to do the thing that costs you less and is restrictive and doesn't... Yeah, you're not going to do something... There could be state-owned grocery stores that have fresh produce. It's very doable. New York has a ton of agriculture. But no. Yeah, why raise the taxes if people live on the Upper East Side or the Hamptons? Why do that? Why do anything?
Yeah.
Just make this fucking thing that you think is tawdry or whatever that poor people can have that just, like, it's a reprieve from working 60 to 80 hours a week to live in a fucking morgue slot in this terrible city. Take that away from them.
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, luckily, there hasn't really been too many of those in my recent memory because of COVID, I guess. But I don't know.
New York in the same budget.
Oh, wait, no, L.A. No, California just banned menthol. They just banned menthol, which, by the way.
No, the state's literally burning down.
The logic
because
of that.
Because you ran out of slave labor.
Yeah, the logic of that is that, like, it entices kids. But, I mean, dude, I was a child smoker. And I was not lured to menthol because I liked mint. Yeah. Kids don't like mints. Kids don't like mint. That's like old people liked mints. I the first cig I tried was menthol and I fucking hated it.
I mean, in the same budget that Cuomo signed, we cut Medicaid and banned flavored vapes.
It's so weird, dude.
You cut Medicaid in the middle of this crisis. I got yelled at for saying that Cuomo is just as bad of a person as Trump, but he is. They're the same guy. Cuomo's just a little smarter, but he's writing a book about what a good fucking job he did. Well, he's kicking people off of their healthcare.
I'm working towards, like, I think a theme in this episode is, like, I want to mentally and philosophically go back to 1997, where I just hate all, correctly dislike all politicians, almost all of them. Just kind of like write the entire thing off. It's like, maybe, I don't know how true it was like for most of the time, but I think right now you could definitely get away with it, you know?
I mean, there are a few I like. I don't know. I have some wild theories about the next 20 years.
Whoa. I mean.
This one. This is an Illinois-based prediction.
Okay.
I think we already know who... I'm not going to say this is definitely happening because this is a crackpot prediction. This is insane. This is not based in anything tangible.
Okay.
The good part of it. But I think potentially J.B. Pritzker, our boy, he could be the FDR candidate in 12 years.
Okay.
FDR came from a very wealthy, well-connected family. He was initially a deficit hawk, which means he was pro-austerity. That was his early posture. And then when he got it there, because he was not an intellectual, just like JB isn't, not an intellectual, but like saw what needed to be done, saw the stakes of everything, was like, all right, we need these massive spending programs. Fuck the deficit. Fuck this. We're just going to spend our way out of this. We'll do massive programs, the likes of which this country has never seen before. JB similar type, not ideological, but from this, not an intellectual either, but someone who I think has not done a very bad, he's done a way better job than Cuomo. What he's done in Illinois far outpaces Cuomo. And I feel like, you know, because with Biden, unfortunately, I don't think we're quite going to have 97 because we're not going to have amazing prosperity, or at least amazing prosperity on paper like we did in 97 for a while. But I think that we're going to have a lot of years of jobless recovery, probably have some stagflation in there. And I think I could see a sequence of events where JB gets in there and he's like, all right, I'm going to fucking stick the knife in the insurance companies. All right, it'll be a fucking jobs program. Maybe
it's a very wild theory.
Maybe he could never get elected because he looks too weird. But that's why I call it a crackpot prediction.
Everybody,
it's not based in reality, but it's so weird that I think it could happen.
He has Illinois face.
Yeah,
he's not weird by Illinois standards.
I have to work out 4 times a week not to get Illinois face.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like, you can be very bizarre looking. Like, who's that one guy who's, I think he's a congressman that has like weird teeth. He has like long ass teeth. He's like particularly scary.
Oh, yeah. The guy who lost, fucking the worst Democrat besides Henry Queller, the Polish last name. Fuck, goddamn, what's his name?
This is the most vague thing I've ever for Chicago politics.
Dan Lipinski,
yes.
Yeah. Dan Lipinski, okay, you know, you want to talk about good things that happened. Dan Lipinski is one of the worst fucking Democrats that's held office in my lifetime. And
oh, Mary, he's so ugly.
Mary Newman, a supporter of Medicare for All, beat his ass. That was great, dude. That was great.
Dude, just the definition of a rat face. Like, this is...
And a rat person.
Dude, he literally looks like a rat.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to Photoshop him in a mean way to look like a rat, you would barely have to make modifications.
It's amazing that a guy that ugly and uncharismatic and just, like, politically uninspiring was in there for... I guess that shows how disengaged people are from the political process. I think, like, when you see these, like, way better Democrats primary, these really shitty ones, I think what happens a lot of the time is people don't even know who their rep is. They don't give
100%.
A shit. They're checked out of the political process. And if an exciting enough candidate comes along, they'll be like, oh, wait, that fucking rat represents me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I have this fucking guy, Elliot Engel. What the fuck? Yeah, boom, done, out. Very few people, I mean, they say that approval rating for people's individual reps is very high. But I think often the case is that... people don't know who it is. They don't care. They're checked out of the process. Voter turnout's very low.
Sorry, Brandon. We ducked into local Illinois politics.
Yeah, I know. You went Illinois on me.
I almost went to Oberweis territory, but I'm not going to do it right now.
I love... Just so people know, Jim Oberweis was an ice cream baron who hated immigrants more than anything, and he spent tens of billions of dollars every 4 years to become the... Republican nominee for governor and never came in better than third place.
Well, he's running against Lauren Underwood.
Oberweis is a freak. He also
we actually are talking about the Oberweis family now.
Yeah, we it's hard not to talk about Oberweis. He's just such a
Brandon,
it's like,
and the audience, this is Oberweis. I don't know how far it's
he makes
out
really good ice cream.
It's really good ice cream. Like, this I'll bring it to
good.
A relatable level. Like, Oberweis is a chain of milk stores and ice cream stores. They make real good milk, real good ice cream. There's not like a real equivalent in California. I wish we did. Like, because the funniest thing the funniest thing he would do is like walk to Oberweis and get a glass of milk and like drink a glass of milk.
It's really good milk.
Like, wait, it's a straight up milk store?
Dude,
yeah,
it's the best milk you've ever had.
Oberweis
Dairy. It's so fucked up that he's so racist because it's like, God, why couldn't you have just like made your milk and shut up?
Yeah, seriously. And their ice cream's real good. They have like, dude, everything about it is good. Oberweis Dairy. And they have like locations like all over the place, but I don't know if it spreads outside of Illinois. There's got to be stuff in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you know?
I figure.
Like, I could see it being in sort of there, but I mean, I'm pro... expansion of dairy-based establishments, But I don't want the Oberweis family taking over. I do wish that I could, when I go and finally visit, I'm going to go to Oberweis and just bite the bullet and maybe I'll try to shoplift the milk. I don't want to contribute to the family's wealth, but you know.
Well, that's why we would ideally, I wish we could have a Jean-Luc Mélenchon or like a left Gaullist type where we would have an economy that was Dujarist and the state directed key industries. And then maybe over the course of that, the government of Illinois takes over Oberweis and you can buy that milk and not feel bad about it.
It's just state run ice cream store.
I don't know what he does. I don't know why it's so good, but it is. It's like maybe it's like a curse. He's like, I want to make the best milk ever. And they're like, you're going to be a racist who constantly runs for office and never wins. And
I want to see somebody, either Ben or Jerry, run against Jim Oberweis in some kind of like purely milk based political situation.
Honestly, they make good milk products, but Oberweis is better. It's the best.
Ooh, wow.
I think it's the best.
Okay, wow. Fair. Damn. I mean,
I don't know why. It just is. I don't know what he does to it.
You heard it here first, folks. I mean, I kind of agree
that,
with you there.
Taste that milk.
It's good. It's some
we
good
should
milk,
right? We should go on a road trip to Illinois.
We should just move there.
We actually should, man. Fuck. I want to be back. I miss it.
Me and Felix, this will just quickly turn into personal conversations if I don't stop myself. But we are very tempted to move back. Brandon, you have to come along, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
you have
the
to
thing.
Come.
It's like, and all the guests, yeah, it that, would be a little
that,
harder.
That sweet, sweet milk.
Do you know how good our lives would be in Illinois?
We'd be like, kings.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
Oh, man. I there's actually a 50-50 shot that I'm going to buy a place in Illinois. I don't know, though.
I mean,
the other 50 is Minnesota.
Yeah.
Either way, just
you're,
having
you're
a,
done with
a
New
big
York.
Basement.
You're with the LinkedIn guy.
Well, I'll have to come back here sometimes for work stuff, but it's just like, I don't know. It's tough living here now. Like, all the reasons that people say New York is dying is they're like, oh, the M&M store in Times Square closes earlier or whatever. But it's like, my whole thing is like, the basic bargain of New York is you get to have this kind of like fun lifestyle, even though you pay like an obscene amount of money to live in a fucking phone booth. Everything's aggravating, but you can get anything. But now it's like seeing how bad they handled COVID, and it's like, what do my taxes even go to now? They're not, I was happy like paying taxes here when, you know, Medicaid wasn't cut. But it's like, if we're going to be under this austerity regime, the last bit of redeeming characteristics have been sucked out of this place. I don't know. I feel like everything was handled very badly here. And I don't know. I would just rather be in Illinois or Minnesota, places that are at least like better run, where at least like maybe my taxes go to people who need it and not increase funding for the NYPD. I mean, that's a problem in every fucking blue state. But like,
right.
New York's especially tough because, like, I don't know, man.
Illinois is pretty bad,
Minnesota,
too.
Illinois
is bad.
Living in a pod for bugs.
Yeah.
I could go. Right. I could go to there'd be a grocery store within like 8 miles.
I just want a basement, quite frankly. And Illinois is not
too.
Better. It's at least like more interesting, you know. It's like your taxes are being wasted in Illinois, but it's like, oh, I bought Rod Blagojevich a speedboat, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if they're using my money to pay people for patronage jobs, like, fine. At least someone's getting a fucking job.
Yeah.
I don't. Fine, whatever. Patronage makes the world go around. I would take the corruption of Chicago in the 70s over the corruption we have now.
100%. Yeah. And even if it's corruption that's just interesting, I'm down with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be that mad about a speedboat. It's different if it's just like, oh, they paid some contractor $400 million to build a website that doesn't work and like never actually got finished.
Well, that was the end of the era. The end of the era was when Daly sold the parking, because that was like the end of the old scam where you pay some Polish guy and he gets your fucking dumbest cousin a job in sanitation. And the beginning of the new scam where you sell the infrastructure of your city to an investment bank that makes it shittier and more expensive.
Yeah.
That was the bridging of the two eras of the Democratic Party.
Am I right in my impression that Illinois is like big on cousins?
Illinois is, I think Ohio is the most cousin state though.
Okay. Yeah. You think so?
Illinois is a big uncle and nephew state though, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
land of nephews.
Mine were like spread out across multiple neighboring states, you know? So I'm a little biased.
Yeah. People leave the nest in Illinois. They're like, I'm going to go find a new life in Colorado.
I think they leave the nest. They're like, oh, I'm going to find a new life in Chicago. You know,
yeah,
and they just like the Illinois dream is to live near Wrigley Field and be like, this is so great. I could walk to the games.
This is crazy for me great. Because I grew up in the sticks, Naperville.
Yeah. Like, bro, literally. Okay. We're getting a little too deep. Brandon, we're alienating you. But
it's fine.
Only one way for you to get all this shit, and that's for you to move to Illinois with us.
That's the thing.
Not Chicago.
We can live, no, the suburbs. We could live like kings. Yeah, I think Wheaton. I would go Wheaton, Illinois.
Wheaton would be, we would go into the city. We would all buy the ugliest $300 dress shirts with cufflinks and go into Chicago every weekend.
By the way, I said we could live like kings.
That sounds awesome.
We could
like a really like shitty print short sleeve button down with the sleeves like rolled up.
Yes.
Cuffed just enough.
Yes.
Yeah. They're like up halfway up your tricep. You have like, you have like gold colored aviators. Like, yeah, it would be so sick.
Khakis that like fit like Chris LaVille pants that are like, somehow have a spandex quality, even though they're just regular khakis. You've been like working your legs in the gym all week. You're a member of Lifetime Fitness and Export Fitness at the same time somehow.
Yeah, because it costs like $50 for both in Illinois.
We could live financially like kings, but we would not get respect as podcasters. That's a thing.
Oh, no one would like us.
No everybody one. Would hate us.
Everyone,
that's like the thing.
Everyone would be like, you need a real job like skimming off the top of a sanitation company. you guys are just parasites. And I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
It is refreshing. I do miss like it goes too far in the opposite direction in Illinois and Chicago, where it's like the shit that's rewarded in LA and New York is hated in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where it's like all forms. If you're anybody that has like I would be shit on for having this podcast because I get like attention and I like, oh, what? You need people to listen to you? You want somebody to listen to you? Why?
Yeah. Why don't you get a fucking therapist?
Yeah. Pussy. Fuck you.
Yeah. We would get yelled at just random people would yell at us. They would just like, they're all like our aura would just emanate like entertainment industry bullshit. And we would get shit thrown at us, but it wouldn't matter because it's like, you know, we're taking the boat out to one of Illinois' many boating lakes.
Yeah. You could afford a boat, Brandon. Like, you could get a boat. I'm telling you on this.
Hell yeah.
We could all have boats out there.
We could just have three boats, like, driving down I-55, three trucks towing three boats, just completely blocking traffic because we're going the same speed talking to each other through our windows.
Yeah. We all have Sirius XM.
Yeah.
We all have every dumb suburban consumer cultural
we're paying for Sirius and like all sorts of dish networks that are long obsolete, but we're just still paying for them. This is Oberweis delivery milk.
We would work for Oberweis's campaign.
Oh man.
We would just have to become like, I love Illinois Republicans because it's like, they're like, oh, Cook County Democrats, they're fucking stupid. They're always going to jail. And then it's like, they just go to jail for the exact same crimes.
Brandon, how's this sound to you? Are you in?
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
All right, done.
We're doing it.
On that note, I think we've done enough for this week. What do you think?
Yeah.
Felix, thank you for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure.
Any plugs?
My pleasure. I don't have anything immediately.
No, I don't have anything.
Maybe something soon.
Yeah. Brandon?
What's up?
Do you have any plugs?
Oh, I just want to... everybody should check out Chapo Trap House on Patreon. I think everybody should... I don't have shit to plug.
Of course not.
I guess...
Plug our Patreon.
Yeah, none of us, you know, none of us have shit to plug right now.
Sign up for our Patreon. Sign up for our Patreon. We need it. We need to move to Chicago. It's the move to Chicago.
Yeah,
funds.
It's important.
Yeah, buy us a Chicago speedboat. Buy our Sirius XM subscription in Chicago. Yeah, and a large flat screen TV for my kitchen for some reason. Yeah, you gotta have the flat screen in the kitchen for some reason.
I need an LCD fireplace fire.
Yeah,
that doesn't do anything.
Like, while I'm making a buffalo dip for my friends who came over at 10 a.m. to drink beer, I need to be able to watch TV.
Yeah, I'm having a $250,000 marriage ceremony at age 45 for my first marriage. Okay. Illinois shit.
All right. Okay.
Oh boy.
Thank you for listening.